Hello, Internet friend. I'm David Ravel, and this is ValueSign for Monday, May 1st. For all of our articles and podcasts, visit ValueSign.com. Well, today, why prime the pump, government spending isn't working. Last week, we received our first look at the nation's GDP for the first quarter of 2023. At a growth rate of just 1.1%, it was less than half of what analysts predicted a month ago. Now, it's been an article of faith in Washington that the more the government spends, the more it boosts the economy. Here, we have the biggest spender of all time in Joe Biden, yet the economy is slowing. And the question is why? Why did a tried-and-true strategy that worked for so long now no longer function? Of course, much of the credit, quote-unquote, for the slower economy goes to the Federal Reserve, which has the full monetary brakes on. But it's much more than just increasing interest rates that has this economy down. Today, we're exploring a couple of significant changes in the economy that are likely the reason that prime the pump no longer works. Now, we are watching history unfold before our eyes. Each day that President Biden goes to office, he is setting new records for government spending. Think Donald Trump was a big spender? Well, he pales in comparison to Joe Biden. Trump was the first president to have a $1 trillion budget. That doubled the largest budget in our history. On the other hand, Biden's budget just presented is 5 times larger than Trump's. So large that if Biden continues to spend like he is currently, he will leave office either in 2 years or 6, having created more government debt than all the other American presidents who went before him. But all that doesn't really matter, Washington bureaucrats tell us. Don't you know that government spending helps the economy? When the government spends big, it creates more jobs, and more jobs mean more sales for the stores and shops in the country, and the economy expands. It's a concept that's been around since the 1930s, when then-President Franklin Roosevelt adopted the concept from an economist named John Maynard Keynes. It was Keynes' idea that by increasing consumption, you would get more jobs, and the government would help bring the country out of the Great Depression. It was a concept that went against all conventional economic thinking of the time. Classical economists saw production, not consumption, as the way out of hard times. But to Keynes' great credit, when Roosevelt implemented those kinds of programs, they all worked, and America rose from the ashes of a devastating depression. From that point onward, it was accepted gospel among the Washington elites that when the economy got into hard times, the government ought to step up and prime the pump, in other words, spend like crazy. Now, even under a massive spender like Lyndon Johnson, government spending seemed to support economic growth. Johnson, you'll recall, thought he could create a tremendous social welfare program called the Great Society, and at the same time fight the war in Vietnam. In a sense, Johnson was right. He was the last president to have an economy that grew at better than 5%, although that growth also came with very high inflation. Now, the key to understanding why government spending worked so well back then is to realize that the American economy was essentially a closed system. Those excess government dollars went directly into American citizens' pockets, which they in turn spent in American stores. Stimulus worked because it boosted American enterprise. However, as you and I have discussed, the economy began to radically change in the 1980s and beyond. The American multinational companies took many of those jobs offshore. Today, almost the entire technology sector has their manufacturing jobs overseas. Pharmaceuticals, electronics, heavy industry, all the same. As a country, we went from having a balance between our production, primarily industrial, and our consumption, to a 30-70% ratio, where almost double our economic activity is just consuming. While we shop at Walmart, most of the goods that Walmart sells us are made by foreign workers. So when the government puts money in the economy, like it did with the stimulus, the money still goes into American pockets, but only long enough for us to transfer those payments to Chinese and other workers outside of the United States. In short, the history of excess government spending over the last 40 years is that we've done a marvelous job of boosting the Chinese economy. How do you think that China grew their economy like they have since the 70s? That's right, through U.S. spending. So that's the first reason that Biden's massive spending is not helping our economy. It's because the economy has so much leakage. The wages and profits of goods sold in the United States by either foreign companies or foreign subsidiaries of U.S. multinational companies. Now, the second major factor that's limiting the effectiveness of federal spending on the economy is corruption. It's hard to overlook the growing number of financial frauds that are coming to light. There have been the twin bank failures of Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank. And inevitably, in situations like this, when the regulators finish, they find that significant fraud is at the heart of their failure. There's also been the tremendous fraud of Samuel Bankman-Fried and the FTX crypto exchange. In fact, Transparency International has dropped the U.S. ranking as least corrupt among the G7 nations to number 6. Only Italy has a more corrupt ranking than the U.S. Those countries considered less corrupt than America include Japan, Germany, France, Great Britain, and Canada. And this has not gone unnoticed with the Biden administration. Just over a month ago, the administration reported their new strategy of, quote, implementing the United States strategy on countering corruption. This is a five-pillar plan to curtail corruption, both domestically and internationally. And I think that you'll find pillar number 3, quote, holding corrupt actors accountable, particularly interesting. In it, the administration outlines how regulators, including the Justice Department and the Securities and Exchange Commission, are holding individuals criminally liable for money laundering, bribery, and multi-billion-dollar schemes, quote-unquote. For those of you who are carefully following the news coming from Ukraine and China, you may wonder how this new initiative might affect a certain first son. I'm also puzzling. In any event, financial corruption is yet another way in which federal spending is channeled away from ordinary citizens and thereby mitigates any benefit to the stimulus. Finally, my objective is not to defend the amount of government spending that this White House is doing. Far from it. I believe that this is totally over the top and unwarranted. And as we've discussed, even the Keynesian argument that massive spending will help the economy no longer seems to apply to America in 2023. Both the portion of the economy that is now offshore, combined with our current level of financial corruption, makes any prime-the-pump benefit moot. And that's The Value Side for Monday, May 1st. For all of our articles and podcasts, visit valueside.com. I'm David Revelle. ValueSide is independently written and researched. The views expressed are strictly my own.